As we prepare our hearts for worship, hear these words from Psalm 96. This is from the Message version. Sing God a brand new song. Earth and everyone in it, sing. Sing to God, worship God. Shout the news of his victory from sea to sea. Take the news of his glory to the lost, news of his wonders to one and all. For God is great and worth a thousand hallelujahs. His furious beauty puts the other gods to shame. Pagan gods are mere tatter and rags. God made the heavens. Royal splendor radiates from him. A powerful beauty sets him apart. Bravo, God, bravo. Everyone join in the great shout, encore. In awe before the beauty, in awe before the might. Bring gifts and celebrate. Bow before the beauty of God. Then to your knees, everyone worship. Get out the message, God rules. He put the world on a firm foundation, and he treats everyone fair and square. Let's hear it from the sky, with earth joining in, and a huge round of applause from the sea. Let wilderness turn cartwheels, animals come dance, put every tree of the forest in the choir. An extravaganza before God as he comes to set everything right on earth, set everything right, and treat everyone fair. Would you pray with me? Oh, living God, this is who you are, wondrous in beauty and in might, and in justice, and in compassion, and in love. This is who you are, oh God, worthy of all of the praise and all of the honor that this earth could give you. You're worthy of the animals dancing and the trees swaying and the oceans roaring. You're worthy of us, your people, laying before you once again our very lives, trusting them in your hands because you are good and you are good to us. And so, Father, whatever we brought into this room this morning, our places of exhaustion, our places of fear, our places of doubt, our places of heartache, we lay them in your hands, knowing again that you love us and that you're with us and that you're for us. And as we trust you with these tender parts of our lives, would you fill us up with your strength and with your love? Father, we've come to worship you. Would you be so pleased by what happens in this place? We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you will open your Bibles to John 15, and then we're going to flip over to Exodus 3. John 15, starting in verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word I've spoken you. Abide in me, as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I've said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. And over to Exodus chapter 3, verse 1. Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led his flock beyond the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of a bush. He looked, and the bush was blazing, yet it was not consumed. Then Moses said, I must turn aside and look at this great sight and see why the bush is not burned up. When the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here I am. Then he said, Come no closer. Remove the sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. He said further, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Would you pray with me? And now, living God, we turn to your word because we are your people and we long to hear your voice. We don't turn to your word, oh God, just to get some more information about you. We turn to your word because we need you to be with you, to walk in your ways, to have the peace and the joy that you offer us, to know how to receive it. And so, Father, I do pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts in this place would be pleasing to you. Would your Spirit move freely among us, helping us hear whatever it is you want us to hear. And so you can help us be whoever it is you want us to be. And so you might help us do whatever it is you want us to do. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know what humans are really good at? Boredom. Getting bored. You saw the title. But the average attention span of a human in 2000 was 12 seconds. You think that's bad? By 2015, it had gone down to 8.25 seconds. In just 15 years, we lost a third of our attention spans. I haven't seen for 2022 yet. Get this, the average attention span of a goldfish is 9 seconds. You know what that means? That means that the average goldfish can focus on something longer than you. Isn't that crazy? Here we are, people surrounded by entertainment and surrounded by options, surrounded by opportunities, and it's all great, for about 8 seconds. And then we're bored again and again. We're bored. We're bored in our activities. You ever been to Disneyland? Have you ever seen a little kid at Disneyland? I mean, these parents have like spent a life fortune to get these kids to Disneyland. And here they are surrounded by rides and carnival games and Mickey Mouse ice cream cones. And they've got Goofy and Mickey right there and their songs and there's dancing, entertainment galore. And they go to their very first line for the very first ride. And 45 seconds in, what's that kid saying? I'm bored. We're bored. I mean, when we're like 2 years old, we're already experts at getting bored. We get bored in our jobs. The very thing that you went to school for, the very thing that you've spent your whole life learning how to do, where you've spent more time than anywhere else in your adult life. If you look back on just the 40 hours of the week that were spent there just last week, for some folks in this room, I know one word comes to mind, boring. It no longer challenges you, no longer inspires you. Studies show that 2/3 of American adults are chronically bored at work. 2/3. That means there's someone in this room that's them. We are bored in our relationships. Talking to couples who are struggling so often, so many of them saying, you know, we just don't have that spark anymore. I think what we just need a good vacation where we can go off somewhere and get unbored with each other again. And it makes sense. It seems like a good idea, except for that whole 8-second attention span thing that we're working with. I mean, a good vacation is fun for a week, but you come back, and guess who you come back with? The exact same person that was already there before. You've seen these couples at a restaurant. They're sitting across the table from each other, and they're both looking at newspapers or staring at their phones. They can sit there for an hour and not a word spoken to one another. We can get bored with the ones that we love. And if all that's true, then we know that we can get bored in our spiritual walk. We love Jesus. We really do. But we can just get kind of numb in his presence. We can get bored with the same old Sunday routine. We can get bored with the same old ministry that we've been doing week after week, year after year. We can go and try to read the Bible, and those words that once jumped off the page at us, they just feel stale, sometimes for a whole long season. And when then we try to pray, and the God who once seemed like he was so close, just not so much anymore. And it's not that we're thinking of walking away on this relationship, but in our heart of hearts, if we're honest, we're just not all that enthused about this life with God stuff. It's like Jesus becomes a little bit like that loved one on the other side of the table. He's there, but we just don't really have all that much to say to him. When we come to think of it, we haven't had a really good conversation with him in some time. We haven't really learned anything new about his heart in way too long. The last adventure with him was ages ago. I mean, we still love him, but that spark, somewhere, somehow, it just kind of went away. The question this morning is, what will bring it back? How can we keep on keeping on, not just in the humdrum life with Jesus, but in an exciting, passion-filled, enthusiastic life with Jesus? Is that possible to have? Is it possible to maintain? How can we do it? So folks in this room this morning, and I know there's a lot of us who are dealing with some spiritual boredom, you've got four invitations that just might help you get that spark back. If you want to regain this true sense of adventure with Christ, then I tell you, if you lean in for just a while, it is possible that you leave with a little bit of a spark going on in your heart today. It's possible. Four invitations. Invitation number one for the spiritually bored among us. Have some fun growing in intimacy with Jesus again. You know, it's really hard to get bored when you are falling in love with someone. Do you remember the last time you were falling in love? Some of you, it's been a long time. For me, it wasn't that long ago. It is hard to get bored when you are falling in love with someone. When you are falling in love, you're giddy. And you're always, in your mind, you're always planning the next adventure. And you can't wait to get to be together. And you are just full of all kinds of questions that you can't wait to ask them the very next time you see them. And the really cool thing about Jesus is that even if you have been walking with him for decades, I guarantee you there is still so much that you do not even know about him yet. There is still so much about his heart that he wants to show you. There is so much of his wisdom that he is eager to share with you. There is so much of his nearness that we haven't even begun to perceive yet. This life with Jesus, it is truly an adventure of the heart. Get to delve deeply into the heart of our first love, Jesus. There's nothing boring about that. Now, some of us are bored in our spiritual walk because, if we're honest, we find that we've been doing a whole lot of things for Jesus recently. But perhaps in all the doing, we've been spending very little time actually showing up to the heart of Jesus and just falling in love with him more than ever before. How does that work? You know how it works. You're in relationships. In my marriage with Guy, if Guy goes through this thing, which he hasn't, but if he just starts bringing home flowers every day from work, and he just brings them home, drops them off, and goes downstairs to play his guitar for 5 hours, and I don't see him again until bedtime. There, I got flowers, but there's no asking about my day. There's no asking about the ups and the downs, the joys and the pains. There's no curiosity about my heart. I can have a countertop full of flowers, but I tell you, after about 3 days of that, the flowers aren't going to cut it anymore. I don't just want his gifts. I want his heart. I want his listening ear. I want his time. I want his presence. I want him to show up to me. and I want to show up to him. And I tell you guys, Jesus is no different than that. Jesus loves it when we serve him. He loves it. But if we're just serving him and we're rarely actually showing up with our hearts to him, there's no intimacy in that. And if there's no intimacy, there's no adventure. Because is there any adventure greater than just falling in love? That's the adventure. If you are bored with your walk with Jesus this morning, maybe your invitation this morning is just simple. Just try doing a little bit less for him, which is, you heard that in church, yeah. And maybe try spending a little more time actually falling in love with him. Just try it. It's fun. In John 15, those verses you heard, Jesus is about to be crucified, resurrected, and ascend into heaven. He's about to not be with his disciples anymore in person. And he tells them 11 times in 11 verses, abide with me, abide with me, abide with me. Like, I'm about to go away, and still my heart's desire is that you would find a way to make your home with me. The people you abide with, the people you make your home with, those are the people that you share your heart with. Those are the people that you show up to every single day, and you share the joys and you share the pains, and you just delight in the being together. 11 times before Jesus says, love your neighbor, before Jesus says, bear fruit, 11 times he says, make your home with me. Don't just get busy serving me. Hang out with me. Fall in love with me at every season of life. My friends, if you're bored with your spiritual practices this morning, if you're having a hard time feeling that intimacy with Jesus in the same old Bible study you've been doing or in the same old prayers you've been praying, you have this invitation this morning to just try mixing it up. It's fun. You haven't found the only way to read your Bible. I promise that. If your Bible reading just isn't getting to your heart these days, then read it in a whole new way. Try reading it in community. Try reading it slowly. Try doing less. Try doing more. I don't know. Mix it up. Be creative. If your usual prayer routine isn't awakening your spirit to the Spirit of God inside of you, there are hundreds of ways to pray. Mix it up. Try a new one. If you're having a hard time finding the presence of God in your living room where you've always found the presence of God, go outside. Mix it up. All relationships need a little bit of mixing up sometimes. We always get in ruts and we always have to get out of the ruts. If your heart is just a little bit bored with the ways you've been showing up to Jesus lately, just mix it up. But whatever you do, just don't stop showing up to Jesus. I tell you, in my life up until now, I found those intimate connections with Jesus in dozens of different ways. In no season of life has it looked exactly the same. When I was in Syria for 6 months, it's 8 o'clock, all women had to be inside. It was just a cultural thing. And I was living alone. I was an hour away from my teammates. So there I was, 8 o'clock every night in this apartment in Damascus, alone. What did I do? I began to light candles and turn the lights out. And I put this worship set that was like an hour long on my computer. And I would just stand in this Damascus apartment, sometimes standing, sometimes kneeling. And I would just sing to my Jesus for an hour every night. I had nothing else to do. I didn't want to watch Arabic TV. It's kind of boring. So I just hung out with Jesus. And I tell you, for those 6 months, I was as close to him as I've ever been. I came back home, different routines, different ways. When COVID first hit, I enrolled in this prayer seminar with a pastor, Brian Zond, who I love. And he taught us for 3 days his own personal prayer practice that he has followed for years. And some of the prayers are written, some were ancient prayers. There was space for just sitting with Jesus. There was scripture. And I printed off his prayer guide. And for the whole first year of COVID, almost every day, I went through this new prayer gift that Brian Zond had given to me. And it was intimate. In the midst of COVID, it was intimate. And it was good and it was different. When I found myself in those really dark valleys of faith, when I just can't feel Jesus, can't hear Jesus, don't even know the words to say to Jesus, I found myself leaning on the written prayers of others. And they have blessed my soul in times when I didn't have words myself. And here, when I just need just this fresh dose of some Jesus in my life, I head to the woods. And we go on a walk together until he shares his heart. Mix it up. Have some fun discovering how your Jesus wants his heart to collide with your heart these days, because he wants to and he's ready to. Have fun with it. See this intimacy with him as this grand adventure, getting every day to wake up and fall deeper and deeper in love with our Lord. There's nothing boring about that. Invitation number two for the spiritually bored. Got a game for you to play. We like games, right? Play this game. Find Jesus in the everyday stuff. Because he's there. He's at your workplace. He's at baseball practice. Make it a game. Looking for him every single place you show up, every single place you hang out. When it's been one of those nasty rainy days around here and I haven't gone outside in like hours, my dog gets annoying. She's antsy, she's anxious, she's bored. And so what I've learned that she kind of likes to do, stimulates her brain, gives her like this much exercise. We play hide and go seek in the house because it's fun. And so I'll make her stay in the living room, which she doesn't do very well, but I'll try to make her stay and I'll go run in the back and hide somewhere. And then I make this little noise to call her. And I'll sit there and I'll hear as she just starts sprinting down the hall. And she jumps in every room and she's frantic, looking for me. In that moment, all Charlie cares about is finding where her person is. Where is my person? And when she finally sees me, oh, she like loses it. She jumps and she turns in circles and there's just pure joy. There's my person. I haven't seen you in 30 whole seconds. There's my person. What if we did that with Jesus? What if every single place we walked into this week, we just played this game of hide and go seek? Jesus, I know you're here. And by golly, I am going to see you. I'm going to see you. And when I do, I'm going to run and I'm going to jump and I'm going to turn in circles because there's my person. Pure joy seeing our Jesus. Make it a game. Moses at the burning bush. Did you realize what was happening on that day in his life? Nothing. He was in the wilderness hanging out with his father-in-law's flock of sheep. That is boring, ordinary, the most usual day in Moses' life. And there on that ordinary day was this bush that was burning but wasn't burning up. And in that place, a boring day turned into a great adventure because God was there. Moses, take off your feet. What you thought was an ordinary trip to Safeway has become holy ground. You see, in the most ordinary, everyday stuff, God is there. Play a game. Look for him everywhere you go. Say, God, I'm going to find you before I leave. I'm looking for you. Youth group on Wednesday night, the youth played a game. They went outside and they were looking at nature and their instruction was, you know, find something in creation that you see the fingerprints of God on. Something that you see. I mean, this is God made it, so he's telling us something about himself with it. So go out and find something and bring it back and tell us what God is whispering to you about who he is with these everyday things that we're always surrounded by, that your eyes are now open to. And I tell you guys, our youth group is full of a whole bunch of theologians. These kids were amazing. They sat around the circle and Roger, right here, Roger brought this rock. And he said, this rock reminds me of when Jesus said, if y'all don't praise me, the rocks are going to cry out. Like, it reminds me of praise him. And then one of our youth, Anastasia, she's somewhere in here. Anastasia brought this beautiful flower. And she said, when I saw it, I just thought it was really pretty. And it's like, well, what does that tell you about God? And she's like, well, I think sometimes God just loves putting beautiful things in my path. Just because he knows that I'll enjoy it. Isn't that great? And then Maddie had the same flower, the same looking flower, but hers had broken. And she said, when it broke, I was sad. But then I realized that now that it's broken, it can spread even farther. These are our teenagers, seeing the fingerprints of God all around them in the everyday, everywhere kind of stuff. God whispers, they're all around us. In the most ordinary of places, God is there. And that's not boring. Feeling bored in your faith this week, just play this simple game. Take your phone out and set your alarm to go off every single hour. It'll annoy your spouse, but that's okay. It's just 1 week. Set your alarm to go off every single hour. And when that alarm goes off, just say this quick prayer. Jesus, open my eyes this hour to see you. Wherever I am, open my eyes to see you. Every hour, besides when you're asleep, because you should sleep well. He likes that too. But when you're awake, every hour, Jesus, open my eyes to see you. You will find out that there are burning bushes everywhere. Play a game with it and see him all around. Jesus shows up, and it is hard to get bored when you just can't stop seeing Jesus. Invitation three for the spiritually bored. Some of you look really bored, so hopefully this one gets to you. For the spiritually bored, number three, hang out with passionate people. I tell you, it is easy to get bored when all your friends are boring. And I know a lot of boring people. If that's all you hang out with, you're going to be bored. I've taken friends to like the fanciest, most exquisite meal you can imagine made by chefs in this beautiful setting. Everything was something that you never would have had before. And everything that would come, they would turn their noses up like, eh, meh, 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 I've had better. And by the end, what was supposed to be this exciting, lovely evening together left us all feeling kind of like, meh, 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 blah, blah. Nothing is good, blah. But my grandpa... Oh, my grandpa, I miss him. He made every single meal an adventure, right, Mom? Especially those his last decade of life. I don't know if he just had forgotten how everything had tasted before or if he was just more grateful than ever before. But every single meal from when he was like 85 to 95, somehow for 10 straight years, every meal, he had the best thing he had ever had before. He would take a bite. This is the best fried chicken I have ever had. It's like, Grandpa, it's just KFC. This is the best red beans I've ever had. This is the best cornbread. This is the best peach cobbler. 94 years of my life, this is the best. And I tell you, you wanted to eat with my papa because it was fun. It was an experience. And you're like, man, this is really good fried chicken. You just couldn't help but delight in this meal because he was so delighted. Turns out that being blah is contagious, but so is being passionate. And if you want to spice up your life with Jesus, just hang out with some people who are really passionate about him. Surround yourself with some folks who are just having a ball, loving their Jesus. And before you know it, you're going to be having a ball loving him too. It is hard to be around them and not love him like they love him. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25 says, "Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." People of God, spur each other on. You know how you spur people on? Not by saying, blah, 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 life with Jesus, blah. You spur people on by being excited, by being inspired, by being passionate about something. The author of Hebrews is saying, you people, have some zeal for Jesus and let that zeal be contagious. Meet together and encourage one another to keep on keeping on. Alive, passionate people for Jesus. I ask you in your life, who are the people that you surround yourself with when you need an injection of zeal for Jesus? When you need a little shot in the arm, you just want to fall in love with them again, who do you hang out with? Who in your life is so on adventure with Jesus that you cannot be near them and not just feel near to him too? Well, thanks, guys. Wasn't really trying to put that out there, but that's why, what an honor. You too, whoever said that. But who, you got to have those people. You got to have those people. If all the people in your life are blah about Jesus and you wonder why am I blah, that's why. Have those people. Hang close to them. You will be bored no more. The last few years I've got to hang out with Doug a few times. Where did Doug end up? You guys just, way in the back, that's why I can't find you. I was with him on a hike for a few hours at his house. If you haven't been around Doug yet, what you'll see when you're around him is he is always singing. And he's always singing a song to Jesus, always. The whole hike, there was just song after song. You can't hang out with Doug and not find yourself singing some songs to Jesus too. It's just contagious. And then my friend Matt, right up here, Matt, He's a single dad raising a little girl. He works full time. He works hard. He is a busy guy. He's a tired guy. And yet, just a couple weeks ago, he messaged Guy and said, "What are your dreams for the praise band? What more can we do? How much farther can we go? What else can we offer?" And then a week later, messaged me, "Jamie, my heart, my passion is young people. How can I invest more? How can I do more to be a part of their lives?" I'm thinking, Matt, where do you have the time? Where do you have the energy? He's passionate. And you can't hang out with Matt and not begin to wonder, well, gosh, what more can we do? What more? Where more can I show up? Get close. Get close to those people in your life who are on this great adventure with Jesus and who are having a ball with it. And you will find yourself having a ball with Jesus in no time. Passionate people are not boring. Finally, invitation 4 for the spiritually bored yet. You haven't found one you like yet. You're not going to like this one. So you can go back to 1, but this one is my favorite. Invitation 4. You want to get out of spiritual boredom? Take a great big ol', O-L-E, take a great big ol' risk with Jesus. Great big ol', not a great big ol' risk with Jesus. I tell you, so often we are bored with Jesus because we play it so safe with Jesus. We play it safe. If we're honest, we live the life with Jesus that we would normally live anyway, and we just sprinkle a little prayer in here and there, or just add a Bible reading for 5 minutes in the morning. But other than that, our life is just like it would be without him. And here's the deal. In the Gospels, when Jesus shows up in people's lives, it never happens like that. When Jesus shows up in people's lives, he never just gives them a few nice prayers to pray and a little Bible verse to put on their social media page. That's not what he does. When people shows up in people's lives, everything changes. When people shows up in the Gospels, folks start to take some risk. They begin to love some enemies. And they begin to turn some tables of injustice. And they begin to go out and touch lepers. And they begin to eat dinner with sex workers. And they begin to play tag with little bitty kids. And they start washing some feet. And they start giving away some stuff. A lot of stuff. And they cast out some demons. And they start to share some good news with whoever will listen. When Jesus shows up, everything changes and everything gets risky. Want to get close to Jesus, want to have that spark ignited, just take a big old risk with your Jesus. Case in point, Matthew 4, verse 18. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." At once they left their nets and followed him. Here we've got these ordinary guys on the most ordinary of work days. And Jesus shows up and calls them to leave everything and to follow this rabbi on a grand adventure of which they knew about this much of what they were getting into. And from that moment on, the rest of Peter's life was going to be anything but boring. Because now he's on a grand adventure with Jesus just because he took this great big old risk and dared to drop his nets and follow this Jesus. My friends, I tell you, in my own life, when I find that I'm beginning to become bored with Jesus, I've realized pretty recently that it's actually not Jesus who's gotten boring. It's me. Somewhere along the way, I find that I just quit dreaming Jesus's dreams. And somewhere along the way, I find that I quit stepping out of my own boat in faith, and I quit stepping onto some waves, and I stopped daring to walk where Jesus walks. When my life with Jesus is most alive, most enthusiastic, I find that I'm out there taking some risk with him, some great big ones with my Jesus. I tell you, I feel alive in Jesus when I dare to love someone who scares me to death. I feel so alive with Christ when I open my home up to someone who makes me uncomfortable. I feel that spark in my heart between my spirit and the Spirit of God when I dare to write a check for something that's on God's heart that I can't fit into the budget. I do. I feel alive with Jesus when I dare to offer my gifts to him, not knowing if I will look like a fool for doing it. Oh, it feels so alive. Taking some risk with Jesus, it is so hard to get bored with him when you're doing that. Our Sunday school class that meets upstairs, we're reading right now a book by Henry Nouwen. Henry Nouwen was a Catholic priest, and he was super successful. He had been a priest at a big old church, and then he had gone to Harvard and then Yale. He was like the top of the top in the Catholic Church. And he says in the introduction of our book, he's like, I got to be 50, and I had reached the top professionally. And he said, but I began to wonder in my heart if my growing older had actually led me to fall any deeper in love with Jesus. And he said, I feared that I hadn't. And he said, so I began to pray this risky prayer. He said, I prayed, God, tell me what you want to do with my life, anything, and just don't be ambiguous about it, and I'll do it. Would you dare to pray that prayer? So God spoke to his heart and said, Henry, I want you to leave Yale. I want you to leave pastoring this big church, and I want you to move into La Arche. This is a community for special needs people. He left everything, spent the rest of his life caretaking for one man who was nonverbal named Adam. Henry bathed them each day, took him to breakfast, lunch, dinner. This guy who had no clue who Henry Nouwen was spent the rest of his life side by side with Henry Nouwen because he dared to pray, Jesus, I want to love you and just tell me what I'm missing and don't be ambiguous about it and I will do it. Would we dare to pray a risky prayer like that? This church, what's our next big adventure with Jesus? What's our next big risk? How will we together dream Jesus' dreams for Belfair with him? I tell you, church isn't boring when it's full of a bunch of people dreaming God's biggest dreams with him together. That's when church gets wild. That's when church gets fun. Feeling a little bored in your own life with Jesus? What risk are you taking in his name? What's the last radical thing you let him call you into? It is really hard to get bored when you're trying to walk on those darn waves. And Jesus is right there saying, come on, come on. If you came in here today a little bit bored with God, you get to leave here with four invitations to snap out of it. Have some fun growing in intimacy with Christ. Play a game every day. Find Jesus everywhere you go. Hang out with people who are passionate for Jesus and take a risk. Dare to adventure with them. What do you got to lose? When you came in, you should have got you a little carabiner. You got your carabiner? Don't actually use this. I don't think it'll save your life. But it's cute and it's a fun one. Carabiners, these are like the adventure tool, right? I mean, real ones will hold you to a mountain if you want to jump off. These are adventure tools. Take this home and put it somewhere this week where you will see it 1,000 times, wherever that is for you. And every single time you see your little adventure carabiner this week, would you hear the call from Jesus again and again saying, my child, take my hand. My child, seek my heart. My child, walk in my ways. My child, here's your invitation. Snap out of your boredom because your grand adventure with the living God awaits. That's our invitation. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, thank you that in you there is life, an abundant life. And by abundant life, what you mean is not a whole bunch of good things, but you mean life. Fully lived in you. That's the life of joy and the life of peace, the life of love, and yes, the life of risk and adventure. God, I pray for my own heart and the hearts of my brothers and sisters that those places that we are spiritually asleep, that you might wake us up to these beautiful invitations you give us to be on adventure with you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.